Hi, I'm Morgan.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is the Unlocked podcast hosted by the 2021 GBI graduates. So today we're here with Rick from the Liberty Post. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself to the listeners?
So Post is a studio that I started in late 2014. I'd worked at lots of different studios over London and then decided to basically do it for myself.
Okay.
So yeah, set that up and we're like a multidisciplinary studio. We don't try and specialise anything because I think the best design comes from doing lots of different things.
Okay.
I think if we just did one thing, I'd get quite bored. I think anybody would.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So, you know, the dream is always, I think, for studios to do lots of different types of work. And that's what I aim to do. So, yeah, we do lots of brand identity stuff, websites, but we also do packaging, editorial projects. We've designed things like apps and stuff before as well. Yeah, a whole range of stuff.
The whole shebang.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So as it appears in designing the pandemic, for us, you know, it's been up and down.
Mm.
How have you kept your design skills sharp whilst looking at the four walls in lockdown?
That's a tricky one. So for us, when the pandemic hit, I called all of our clients and asked them what they wanted to do. But we had got kind of, you know, contracts and work in place, and they were all keen to finish those bits of work. So we finished all of those projects, and that was all fine. So that kept us all busy for a few months. We did lots of video calling internally, obviously. Slack, if you've ever used Slack before.
Yeah.
Basically gets rid of, it's great for internal comms.
Ah.
So there's no reason to email into it all the time. So it's like basically chat.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like MSN Messenger. Yeah. So it's like a chat room, basically. Yeah. So we're using Slack a lot. We're using an app called Whereby a lot to keep in touch. And really, I think that's how you stay sharp, is just kind of talking, communicating all the time. Then the work did drop off a little bit, but we tried to keep ourselves busy by doing some charity work. And we also then, that's a good time, a bit like now, we're a bit quieter, so we're concentrating on our own portfolio. Mm-hmm. So we did photography, we did portfolio shoot, we co-correct all images, we get on our website, we put some stuff on social media. So you've got to use your downtime productively.
Yeah,
to find things.
Yeah. And in terms of kind of, you know, being inside the four walls, I mean, yeah, everyone did go a little bit crazy. But, you know, again, I tried to, I got all the design, I only have two designers at the moment, but I set them up. I sent them home with their iMacs. I sent them chairs and desks because I don't want people sat on the sofa because that's not good
for,
you know, designing. You need to be
upright.
And exactly. I think, you know, I'm lucky enough to have like a spare room. So I got set up in there.
Yeah.
And that was nice to be able to kind of close the door at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think everybody enjoyed it at the start.
Mm.
But now I think people are done with it. Everyone's when people are in the studio, it's nice to have the buzz back again, you know, because that's what studio should be.
Exactly. Seeing people's faces again.
Yeah.
You know, just being able to walk over to them and show them this.
That's it.
Took it easy.
And I think that's the one thing that I don't think the work from home revolution is here to stay, because I think if you've got a bulk of work that you need to get done, okay, fine, stay at home for 2 days and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But in a creative environment, you need to be able to bounce ideas off each other. You need to be able to kind of like have instant approval or gratification, or, you know, someone say, oh, I've seen that, have you seen this?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that over video call.
No.
And in a studio as well, you know, behind us we have a whole like wall of bookshelves, you remember from last time you visited. So I'm constantly turning around and saying, oh, have you seen this? Because I know everything in the bookshelves.
Yeah.
And the internet's great, but sometimes books and magazines, you know, you have them there.
Having
physical references is like super important. So
I don't know, for some reason it tends to stick. Like if you actually do something manual, like open the book, you're like, actually, this book, this color, I saw this image.
Again, that's why print is not dead.
Yeah.
You know, keep buying books, keep buying magazines, because the nice ones, I've got magazines that are like 10 years old, but I've kept them because like the typography is beautiful. You know, that's going to last forever.
Yeah.
Stuff on the internet is too quick.
Yeah.
It's like
almost next.
Sometimes we spend so much time doing our social media, like really crafting like an Instagram post. And I'm like, man, people are just going to go, why are we spending 2 hours doing this?
And some people won't even see it because of the algorithm.
Oh, that's killer.
Oh, my God. This is the whole like, save, share.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But I think you've got to see, I mean, I'd say this to you as well with your, if you set up design Instagrams, which I know a lot of students do, don't just post lots of rubbish. See it as like almost like a mini portfolio.
Yeah.
Your Instagram page is, I think now the posts are more kind of like your permanent portfolio. So if someone searches for you, they go into your profile, they want to see a nicely curated feed. And anything you're doing that's a bit more instantaneous, put that on stories.
Okay.
That's how we do it.
Yeah.
Would you say separate your personal from your business, or would you like to see the combination of the foregrounded person as a Twitter art and
That totally depends on what sort of person you are.
Okay.
Because I know some people that, you know, the stuff they do in their personal life.
Don't want that.
Some people are posting stuff that they do and that doesn't have any relevance to
China. Yeah.
Whereas I know some people use it and, you know, they only post up like exhibitions and visitors, and references they find. Mm-hmm. So it's like their life is designed.
Yeah.
So I think it totally depends on what sort of person you are.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got like loads of, if you're very active on Instagram and you've got like friends and you post up all your social activities, then probably start a separate design one.
Yeah, which I have. From the projects that you've watched live, what has been the most sort of interesting or shocking research journey you've had?
Wow, nice. Out of all the projects that we've done?
Yes, that are currently existing.
So we design an art direct fair magazine twice a year, and that is quite intense in its research. Every magazine, every issue of the magazine focuses on a single city. So we then have to do loads of research about that city. And like, I'm trying to find photographers, illustrators, designers in that city, and then we contact them and say, do you want to be part of this issue? So that's a lot of research. And I think I spend more time researching and commissioning people, or as much time as I do designing a magazine.
That's pretty cool though, like, because it's like sort of city specific, getting people from that area.
Yeah,
it's like they're looking through their eyes kind of thing.
Even gems as well.
Yeah. So the latest issue that we're sending to print, like hopefully this week, is Kampala in Uganda. So I've met and spoken to loads of Ugandan photographers and illustrators, and the stuff that they have come back with is sick.
It's so good.
It's obviously kind of like, you know, that kind of, their design sensibilities are different to London sensibilities.
Yeah.
And that's what's amazing about this magazine, is that like, hopefully we're creating, you know, a physical thing. And yes, the design is kind of similar between issues.
Yeah.
But the contributions that we get from people, that's what gives it that kind of like, you know, specific viewpoint, that locals viewpoint.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So in terms of research, that's probably quite intense.
Yeah, I remember that the Seoul issue. I'm from Korea, so when I saw that magazine, I remember some like places where I have been.
That was a hard one to do because of the language barrier.
We
try and get like a fixer, and that's like someone in the city who can like speak both languages, and then we sort of pay them to help us get around. Our fixer in Seoul was really good, but that was a hard one to do. And to be fair, the Kampala one was difficult as well, because again, you're emailing people saying, can I have these photos, and they're like,
Yeah.
So that was quite, as far as research goes, that's one that's quite intense. Yeah, I mean, every project we do a lot of research.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's super important, I think.
From those issues, did you have a favourite city?
Tbilisi, okay. Which is in the capital of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Because I got to go there like 3 times, so that was good. But also, it just felt like it didn't really feel like anywhere I'd been before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Didn't feel like Europe.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, the location wise, it's like just underneath Russia, but it's not Russian. It's a bit more Mediterranean, I guess. So yeah, Tbilisi was great. Lots of wine, lots of really great food. I mean, we met some really cool people as well. That like took us to like clubs and stuff, and we got treated like VIPs. It was pretty good. Yeah, it was good fun. That one.
Okay, so as it pertains to difficulties when designing, what are some of your learned habits or tactics when dealing with difficult customers?
Good question. I guess patience. If you're having a difficult time with a client, though, I don't necessarily think that's their fault. It's probably yours. Because if you haven't communicated well enough either what you're going to do or how you're going to do it, there shouldn't be any problems. You know, before you start a brief, you really need to make sure that you are aligned in terms of expectations.
Okay.
And I think it will only go wrong with a client when you haven't set those expectations.
Okay.
You know, which is why our proposals, we obviously write out a list of works, mm-hmm. of exactly what we're going to do, and that gets sent to the client for approval, and we're all kind of, you know, aligned in terms of like deliverables.
Yeah.
And then basically, you know, we're working through that list of deliverables. So if anything ever goes wrong, you can always kind of go back to it, yeah. and say, well, actually, this is what we agreed,
yeah.
and you signed it,
yeah.
and
whatever know. Else is extra.
Yeah, yeah. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I think, especially for a small studio like us, and we do lots of, like I said, lots of different stuff, you've got to keep clients happy.
Yeah.
And because there's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
But then also, like, I think a little bit of flexibility is always nice. And I always, nearly every time, over deliver. So if we say we're going to do something,
yeah.
we'll do all that.
Yeah.
And then I'll also say, oh, look, and we like did this as well,
yeah,
which I think you might like.
You like it, yeah, yeah.
And they're always like, very appreciative. And
yeah.
that's what comes about. You know, we are in a creative industry, but we're also in a service industry.
Yes.
You know, they pay us to make things.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite simple.
Yeah.
So as long as you make those things and then give them a little bit extra,
yeah.
then they'll probably come back or at least speak well of you.
So it's a bit like when you have like fast food, the last chip. You find the bottom of the bag.
Oh, you always feel appreciated when they give you a little bit more than
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the thing that I definitely give clients is, you know, when the project's finished, as I said, we photograph all of our stuff with a proper still life photographer. Then when all those photographs are ready for our website, I'll post them on our site and our socials, and then I'll often package up the photos and send them to the client.
Ooh.
And be like, here, yes, these cost us money, but this is your project. So you can now post these pictures. Just make sure that you credit this.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's all kind of self-promotion.
Yeah.
But yeah, difficult clients, I think it's more about setting expectations, and then nothing should be difficult. But if you do get a difficult one, patience.
Yeah.
Just try and be patient, you know. I've only had it a couple of times where things have gone really badly. Generally, things go quite well.
But speaking of credit, have there been instances where that has not been reciprocated? So you said, oh, like, you know, mention us or something,
yeah.
and you just see your work and you're like, okay, but...
Yeah, that happens. Again, a friendly email
yeah.
or just a little nudge, and they'll tend to kind of give you a credit.
Mm.
The thing that we've had a lot of recently is, this is crazy, but... We do a lot of work with Evermore London, that's a candle company.
Mm-hmm.
So we design the brand, the packaging, we art direct the photo shoots, did the website, everything. What's been happening a lot recently is other candle companies
mm-hmm.
have literally been taking photography we do for Evermore and then like deleting out the Evermore branding and putting their branding
yeah.
on top of the candle and then posting it on
yeah.
their Instagram. And this has happened about four times. And I tried to remain professional until it happened like the third or fourth time. And then I just called everybody out and I like screenshot it and I said it was like disgusting. Yeah. And then I did this big post about, you know, all that person has done is they've copied the photograph and they've applied their branding. Mm. But what they haven't taken into account is the studio cost, the stylist cost, the props cost, the photographer cost, the retouching cost. And I listed it all. And I called everybody out, and then lots of people were like, yeah, good one for doing that. Mm-hmm. And then all of those pictures obviously immediately got taken down.
Because I thought that's like a trending, you know, problem with the creative industry when your work is used and there's no credit. So it's just like, oh, where did this trend come from? And, you know, if you can't find the source, it's difficult.
Yeah. I mean, don't start watermarking images or anything like that. Look, I think you realize that the design world is quite a small world eventually. When you've been in it a few years, everyone knows everyone. So there'll always be people that are kind of trying to piggyback off the back of other people's hard work. But the people that need to know will know that, you know, who does the original stuff. I mean, if that's how they're going to try and earn a living by copying other people's stuff, let me on with it. Exactly. I think sometimes it's important just to kind of keep your blinkers on. Keep doing what you need to do.
Have you ever rebranded an existing client and pitched it to them? So a bit like a design they never asked for, but perhaps needed?
Yeah, all the time. big time. One of the biggest projects we did for Faro Menswear, that was, we only got hired originally to do to art direct and design a lookbook for one of their new collections. We did the lookbook. I ended up presenting to the sort of director of the business. And then at the end of the meeting, once I kind of won his approval or respect, I basically said that his logo was terrible.
By the way.
I just said that I think if you're going to try and push, because they were trying to elevate the whole brand anyway. Yeah. So I basically said, look, you need to do this, this, this. Yeah. And he was like, who's going to do that then? I was like,
we're here.
And we basically, that was kind of, you know, you don't have to say it in such like a derogatory way. You're just trying to, you know, you're always trying to educate clients, right? So if I say, well, your logo's bad, I have to explain why. And I did. Yeah. And I kind of, that document was almost like an analysis of their brand. Mm-hmm. It didn't do any work. I just analyzed their brand. Mm-hmm. So this mark looks bad because it's been reproduced probably hundreds of times and it's lost all its definition. Mm-hmm. That should be changed. Mm-hmm. The typeface that you're using, I found out it was actually Arial that had been like squashed for their main logo. Yeah. I was like, that should never happen. Yeah. If you want a wider logo, then this typeface is for that. So I analysed all that, presented it, and then we got that job. But yeah, that often happens that a client will ask you for one thing, and then, you know, it's your job to make every project as good as it can be.
Yeah.
So if that requires you to say, you could have this.
Yeah.
What about if you had this?
Yeah.
And then you're trying to, you know, help them along.
Yeah.
It's beneficial for you as well.
Yes.
but yeah, in answer to that, yeah, all the time.
Okay. So as it pertains to the next level, what are some good ways to create work as it pertains to create breaks for yourself when working either freelance or creating your own agency?
How to create rates?
Yeah.
How to cost work?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a tricky one, and this, lots of articles have been written on this from people that are way more qualified to advise you on this. Mm-hmm. First of all, I think you should all talk to each other. Okay. Like, you should all be saying to each other, what are you charging? What are you doing? Because that's an easy way to work it out. Obviously, another thing you could do is take something like the London Living Wage, which is your, you know, that your first salary. I mean, I know some salaries are lower than that, but it should definitely try and like, it should definitely be living wage or London Living Wage. You take that, you divide that by however many weeks and hours, and then that will give you a rough day rate. You know, that's generally what kind of juniors start on. But But also, again, I think it just comes down to like a conversation with the client. You know, you should be saying to the client, realistically, how much are you going to invest into this project? Not you should never say spend, you should always say invest.
Yes.
How much are you willing to invest into this project? Like, let's have an honest conversation. Mm-hmm. And when you tell me how much you can put into it, I can tell you how much I can give you for that budget.
Okay.
We still do that now. And I still don't know what I'm doing pricing sometimes. It's super hard. You know, some clients you give a proposal to and they look at it and they go, oh yeah, fine.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn.
Should have gone higher.
And then you give someone, you know, sometimes you give them a proposal that's really well priced and they're like, oh, that's like twice as much as I've got. And you're like, what? You know, you just don't know how much people have got to spend.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm still figuring that out. I think every studio is still figuring that out.
Okay.
Apart from the big boys who set prices.
They just have a mix. It's like whatever, like Apple.
Yeah, crazy fees. But for you guys, I'm not going to give you a number because I don't think that's a good idea. Like, I think you should work it out via, start with something like the minimum wage and divide that by how many weeks, days to get a rough day rate. And as I said, there are lots of articles written on this, which I think you should all probably look at and read and get a better idea.
Yeah.
It's a complicated subject.
Yeah. Money.
Just please don't ever do an internship for free, because I think that's you probably have, and that's fine, but like, it's so damaging. And what's really damaging, I think, is that it's always with the studios that I know
can invest.
I've heard of studios just paying like transport and lunch, travel and lunch. That's just not good enough. You should definitely pay for the time together.
That was one of our fire questions.
Right.
Yeah.
We are not.
If you really working for a studio for free, I disagree with working for a real life client for free.
Okay.
If you want to do that, that's your call, because ultimately that work will then go in your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's a different scenario. But working for a studio for completely for free is, unless you have a very open conversation at the beginning and you both agree on the parameters of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, look, we actually had an intern from New York contact me, and she'd seen some work, and she was like, it was during the pandemic actually, she was just like, I'm at home, I'm not doing anything, I can't do anything, I'm just emailing studios and saying that I'll help. And I straight up and honest with her, and I said, you know, we can't take anybody on at the moment. And then she was pushing me, and she said, well, what projects have you got on? I said, I'm actually doing an identity for a friend who set up his own print consultancy, and we're doing it for free.
Yeah.
So we weren't earning any money.
Yeah.
Do you want to help out on that?
Mm-hmm.
Because we weren't earning. She agreed.
Okay.
And she helped us out now. I just sent her the photographs of that project so she can put them in the portfolio.
Yeah.
So we all get something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we had a very honest and open conversation at the start.
This is what it is.
Yeah. The expectation.
Again, expectations and parameters.
Yeah.
Well, this ties in nicely actually to what do you look for when recruiting new talent potentially?
I'm quite a typography led designer. So if you've got a solid kind of knowledge and, I can see some nicely executed type of projects in your portfolio, I'll always naturally be drawn towards that. I also think it's important, if you are pitching yourself for a studio, make sure your portfolio is relevant. There's no point sending post a certain type of work. I can't put my finger on what that is. There's no point sending us a portfolio if your work doesn't have certain similarities to it. I think it's very obvious when we get portfolios of people that have just sent like a generic portfolio email out, whereas all you've got to do is take one look at our work and say, okay, they're kind of type focused, some editorial projects in there, they do lots of branding,
I don't think we have a style, but maybe we do a little bit. Like I said, we don't try and just do one type of work. We do a lot, but I guess there is a certain level of like clarity and reduction in what we do. What do I look for? Obviously, like the idea has to be there. But yeah, I think it is a certain level of execution that I think I'm looking for. I think I can tell quite quickly if that person would fit in with the sort of stuff that we do. I think that'd be my sort of best advice, would be pitch yourself to studios where your work actually would be relevant to what they do as well.
So it's as well, like look at your portfolio and make sure it's sort of tailored to that. Listen, not just not just black and white or 1, 2, 3 guys, here you go. Make sure you know who you're talking to, basically.
When I get an email and the person is just, "Hi, I am X and I really like your projects, project one, project two, project three. Mm-hmm. I have just recently graduated," and it's like there's no personal connection there. There's no individual thought. And then you open up the PDF. I mean, I might not even open it, but you open the PDF.
<It's really laughs>
you open up the PDF and it's just like there's nothing customized or anything. Straight away, you're like, well, that person hasn't really put any effort in.
Yeah.
I'd much rather get an email that says, "Oh, I saw the recent website you designed for that photographer." Like, I posted something up today. "I saw that website you posted for the photographer. That's amazing work. I love the transition." So straight away, I'm like, okay, that person has been onto our social media. It reminds me a little bit of the project that I did at uni. This, if you've got time, here's my PDF. Right, that is going to make me open that a lot more. And also just change the name on the front cover of the PDF as well. Like if someone sends me something and it says "for post with today's day," well, at least they explored that PDF today. I'm just on the desktop, they're just dragging it into mail. You've got to try and pitch it a little bit.
Those little personalizations.
Goes a long way. Honestly, it goes a long way. And you know, hit them from all angles. Follow them on Twitter, Instagram.
Yes, everywhere. LinkedIn.
That's it. It makes a big difference. It's a big difference. Two of the people that I've hired were quite persistent. One of them has moved on since, but you know, he was quite persistent in the way he approached us. Like a proper fanboy. Until eventually I was like, okay, well, look, come in for a bit. 3 month probation turned into a junior design job and then stayed for like a year and a half.
That's good.
So yeah, it does work.
Yeah.
It does work.
And then what piece of advice would you give yourself, the young version of yourself, just coming into industry, not having connections, not knowing as much as you do now?
Okay. Don't start a design studio.
Don't cry.
I think, to be honest, kind of doing what I did, I think was actually quite good. And I'd probably say doing a bit more. So try and work in as many different studios, in as many different industries, sectors of design as possible. So I worked in like a really big advertising-led company for a bit, massive office. Loads of people, very different type of work. Then I worked in like a super kind of hardcore branding and marketing agency, a bit more corporate. I worked in a really small studio that did lots of like music stuff, which is quite fun. Did a little bit of like signage and wayfinding for a little bit. Then I found a studio that I really enjoyed. That's basically what I model and post on now. Multidisciplinary designers and web developers all just trying to make cool stuff. And then I ended up working at an interior design company, you know, like art directing and building up their graphic design team. And did magazines and took on jobs for free. Basically just try and do as much as possible. And don't just be... I know it's really tempting, you know, you all want to get jobs. That's obviously understandable. But I would try and work in as many different places as possible because your knowledge base will just like go through the roof. if you can afford to do like a year's worth of 3 month internships and block a whole year out and just move every 3 months, I think that'll be like so valuable. You'll probably learn more in that year.
Yeah, I can imagine. So many different people for that.
Yeah, and you're going to make loads of connections as well, which is the main thing. Very often, you know, designers do speak to one another, and like I'm on like WhatsApp threads or Slack messaging groups, and people say, "Has anyone had any good juniors recently?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
Yeah, little group chats as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The creative web.
Oh yeah, makes sense. Crack into that. But yeah, we do. We all speak to one another. So I mean, I just recommended a junior designer to another design studio. So, by the way, I've just worked with this girl. Yeah. She's amazing. If you need any help, you know. And then I emailed her and was like, "I've just put you in touch with this guy." Mm-hmm. So you know, if you do make a good impression, people will try and help you out.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just as long as you do some good work and you're like a nice person.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it makes sense, right? Yeah. Like if you're going to turn up to a job and be a bit kind of, I don't know, some people turn up and they act like they're doing you a favor.
Yeah.
And that's not going to go down well.
Yeah.
But yeah, just do as much as possible different places. Yeah. And I think that'll set you up for the future. And you'll figure out what you want to do.
So
you might decide that you are a branding designer or a packaging designer. But unless you try, you're never going to figure it out.
Okay. Are you ready for the fire round?
This is quick fire now.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, if you could work with anyone dead or alive, who would it be?
Wim Crowell. Who's that?
Oh, no. Just for anyone who doesn't know.
Wim Crowell is a very, very important graphic designer. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who he is, you need to get familiar.
You hear that, guys?
Get to know.
He's awesome. And check out the clothes he used to wear as well. Whoa. The guy's like a graphic design superstar. Mm-hmm. But he was kind of in the kind of 70s and 80s when he was kind of prevalent. He wore like silver suits and stuff. Designed a new alphabet called Neue Alphabet that was, yeah, you just need to check him out.
Okay, he sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Okay, next question. What makes a good agency name?
I guess if it's memorable and relevant to what you do. I realise that my studio is called Post, so it's completely memorable, I guess.
So then if you had to change the name of your agency, what would it be?
Actually, my friend started another studio, mm-hmm. and he called it something which I thought was a great name. It's mm-hmm. called Collaborate. Okay. I just thought that was a really great studio name because that's what we do with every client. Mm-hmm. We see him as a collaboration.
Yeah.
But he's got that name now. So
yeah, so
you know, I'm stuck.
Yeah, maybe like Delivered.
Delivered.
Sent. Red.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people think our studio name is about like Post. It wasn't. It was Post as in after. So it was like kind of, you know, post-modern.
After.
It was also a way for me to say it was after everything I'd done. So it's post-uni, post-studio, post-post. But then when I got the URL, it turned into this like, delivered by
Post.
It's because we used to put on the back of every piece of work, we used to put like printed by whoever, delivered by
Post. Yeah. Multitasking or one project at a time?
Always multitasking. I would love to do one project at a time, but I am like constantly spinning plates. So yeah, I'm always multitasking.
Okay, so you've already answered working for free. Yes, fine.
Yes, if it's for a client. Mm-hmm. No, if it's for a studio.
Okay, working at home or in the office?
In the office.
And advice to new graduates, join an agency or start your own?
Join an agency. Yeah. Don't start your own now because...
Too early, yeah.
I think you've got so much more to learn, mm-hmm. and you will only do that, I think, if you work with some inspiring people. You'll work with some like terrible people, but yeah, you should work with some... There'll be a couple of people in your early career that you'll like really look up to, mm-hmm. and hopefully become friends with.
Yeah.
Like I'm still friends with a couple of my old creative directors because they're amazing.
Yeah.
And we still chat.
Oh,
thanks. Yeah.
Have you been following our Instagram? And if so, has any work caught your eye? GBI LCC?
Mm-hmm. You're going to do that now?
No, I haven't been following.
The silence.
I haven't. In fact, one thing I did see was that Mitchell tagged us in some stuff because he said that he enjoyed our brief.
God, the CBD man.
Yeah.
Also, you read your meditations.
Yes.
Where is it?
GBI LCC.
You can't put me on the spot now. That's funny. I hadn't seen Rohan's final brand actually.
Yeah. So.
Executive. I mean, yeah, obviously I'm going to be biased and say anyone that did our brief.
Okay, great.
I don't know. I'll have a look through this properly. I will let you know.
Okay. Next question.
A creative you think people should check out?
I mean, maybe just because I was chatting to him today, but a guy called Alex Hunting.
Okay.
He runs Alex Hunting Studio. They do things, I mean, he's just redesigned Kinfolk magazine. He's just the first person that popped into my head because I was chatting to him today, but I mean, I think his work's great. So hard to put in the spot.
That's okay.
There's so many good studios, you know. Like there's a studio in Australia called A Friend of Mine.
Okay.
And I just think all of their work is like amazing. Mm. So I think it's such a hard question to answer so quickly.
That's fine. List three things to keep in mind when designing.
The brief. The brief, the audience. And the message.
Okay.
I guess it's not about what it looks like, it's about if it answers the brief, if it's appealing to the audience.
Yeah.
And if it's getting the right message across. Mm. I'd also say, like, I mean, personally, a lot of our decisions now are getting based around the environment as well.
Yeah.
So that's something that we're keeping in mind a lot more.
Sustainable living.
Yeah, I mean, sustainable is a tricky word.
Yeah.
We're doing lots of work with Gani. Moment, the women's fashion brand. We've done the responsibility report for 2 years in a row. It's all about sustainability and traceability and all that. So
yeah.
I think it's only going to get more important. So yeah, I'd say that as well.
And then final question, because our theme for this year has been Tetris, because it's been a bit of a up and down whirlwind of a game this past couple of years. What was your favorite video game?
I mean, I actually love Tetris. I had an original Game Boy and I had Tetris on that. And anything Super Mario related as well.
Okay.
Mario Kart was high on the list.
Always saving Princess Peach.
Yeah.
Princess Peach?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mario Kart. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That wraps up.
Oh, I have one last question,
okay,
actually.
Okay.
Surprise question.
Yeah. Have you ever designed for family, and what was the work environment like taking them on as a client?
Yeah, I've done work for family. I've done a couple of projects, but I guess the biggest one is, you know, I talked about the candle company.
Yeah.
That's my wife's company. Mm-hmm. So that was tricky. Because obviously it was me and two of my designers trying to design for ultimately my wife.
Yeah.
And I think for the first time we probably let a little bit of our kind of personal arguments come through into the studio as well, which is like really trying to keep a lid on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, you know, like I said earlier, we kind of set clear expectations and parameters, and the project actually went really well and the rebrand was really successful. Yeah, it's been a really successful project. She just constantly asks us to do more stuff.
Yeah, one last week.
I don't charge her.
It causes
a bit of tension sometimes. We have other paid work to do.
Yeah,
but then you know, got to keep the wife happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or no dinner.
No, it's. I mean, I'm obviously involved quite heavily with her. You know, it's actually a really good thing to do. Like, one thing I think we haven't talked about today is almost like studio-led projects.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Evermore, I obviously have a very close connection with, you know,
if her business is more successful, it's obviously good for me as well.
Yeah.
You know? So we put a lot of effort into that project. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about Fair Magazine as well.
Yeah.
You know, they are a client, mm-hmm. but we have such a ownership over that project that we feel very close to it. Mm-hmm. So therefore we put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah.
And obviously if Fair sells more magazines, we get to go and do more issues.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think don't always just wait for client projects to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start your own things.
Yeah.
You know, that's super important. You as a designer, I think you have all of the tools and you have this kind of creative entrepreneurial mindset.
Yeah.
So start something.
Yeah.
Clothing brand or walk-in company, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But like you've if you have an idea, unlike other people, you know how to like brand it, market it, package it, get it out there. So you're already like one step ahead if you're not having to pay someone to do that.
Yeah.
So like basically side hustles are great.
Literally.
Yeah.
I think I fund myself because my friend has started a like own like cosmetic line in lip gloss, compact mirror, lashes, and it's called King's Beauty. And I've literally become like a permanent creative consultant. She's like, what's this logo, do you think this, you know, typography is aligned right? Okay, what about the mail outs and stuff like that? I'm even featured on the page as a model as well. So it's just like, yeah, I've got my hands in many pies.
But you should, if you're going to do more stuff like that, you should have a conversation like, okay, look, like, can I be part of the business?
Yeah.
You know, I'll dedicate a certain amount of hours per week to producing some assets for you. If I have some shares, or if we
some products,
products at the very least,
yeah. I have, which is really amazing. This relationship that we've built is just,
set your parents up,
But yeah, start some side hustles, and I don't know, working with friends, it can be,
If that friendship was to,
I thought that was gonna be one of the questions that came up, like. Would you ever work with friends?
Yeah.
No. Can't do it.
Isn't it? Never work with family or friends.
We've done a couple of projects with friends, which unfortunately didn't end well. It didn't end badly, but we kind of fell out. Again, maybe because I hadn't set exact parameters about what our involvement or ownership was.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one project which we don't do anymore. That was a bit unfortunate because I think we put a lot of time into it.
Yeah.
And the other project was for a friend of a friend, let's say. And that kind of just ended badly because we didn't charge properly. We charged like a reduced amount.
Oh, because it was a friend of a friend.
Yeah. And therefore, the value on our work, there wasn't so much value put on our work.
Okay.
You know, so the work that we produced.
Yeah.
Wasn't valued because it hadn't cost that person as much as it should. Therefore, they didn't treat it with as much respect. And then the project just kind of went on and on and on with constant amends.
Mm.
And I didn't really know how to charge this person because it was a friend.
Yeah.
And that kind of, it goes down to,
And in terms of like projects that you've pitched to clients, like real projects, that maybe you didn't get accepted for, where does that work go? Do you showcase it? Do you keep it hidden in case there's tweaks you can do to pitch it to a different brand?
Yeah, so we actually just lost a pitch for a property client. What am I going to do with that work? I don't know. I might show it. I don't think we signed an NDA, so I think I can show it.
Okay.
It's also a good way of showing the work and then making sure that client can't use any of the ideas.
It's like we did this, but this is what they went with.
We did the project, and then you see it 6 months later, and there's little bits of your ideas in the final thing. And like, how hard is it to kind of like, but there's like, you know, the brand identity, and if you follow them on Instagram, which you should. They've done a book called The Process, and we were featured in their first one, and it was all about them. It was like they asked studios to show unfinished ideas or
the routes that didn't get picked.
Okay.
And that's like super, there's like two or three books now. Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting thing.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. I think they show you the one that did get picked.
Yeah.
Okay. And they also show you the routes that didn't. Yeah. Which is interesting, right? Because that's something you don't often get to see in studios.
Yeah. Because you see everything that is polished.
Final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I bet everyone would have different choices.
Yeah.
Obviously, this one should have worked.
Yeah, yeah. That happens to us. We just in a brand where the client picked a route that I didn't like, but they really did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I didn't like it just because it wasn't mine. It was someone else's design. I really thought quite strongly that one of mine was better.
Yeah.
So I even did like a follow-up presentation where I showed my brand across more mock-ups. And
yeah.
I was like, I really think you should do this. Yeah. But the client was like, no.
So we've chosen. We
So yeah. You have to accept it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, thinking back, I said earlier, what's the things you keep in mind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually going back to their brief,
yeah.
The one that they picked probably did fit their brief a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, brief. Mine was just mine because I thought it was called
it's mine. Yeah.
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 So, you know, it is, design is subjective.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has an opinion. What you like and what you like is different to what I'm going to like. But it's more about what the client likes.
Yeah.
So, you can always just go try and steer them.
Yeah,
you
know? The right direction.
Yeah.
The Chelsea direction or the post direction.
Yeah. But it's about, I think you see yourself not just as someone that just like provides the service,
yeah.
But you should be trying to teach them stuff as well. Yeah. Educating clients is a good thing. You know, showing them the differences between two typefaces and explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they might go, oh, right, okay. Yeah, that kind of makes sense now. Yeah, maybe we should go with this one. Because you've explained what a serif and a sans serif is, and they never knew, you know? Just little things like that. See yourself as an educator, and you know, you should be guiding them on their journey, I think. I say that quite a lot in the studio.
Guiding them.
Take them on the journey, you know? But it's true, like your presentations, they should take people on a journey, you know? You show them this, they show them this, and then ultimately you go, but look at this, and you try and get them to pick up.
Yeah,
it's quite psychological sometimes.
Yes, this is 1, 2, 3. I like one. Do you like one?
how you structure presentations is super interesting. Like,
place pictures as well.
Yeah. Because like sometimes you show your best route first,
yeah.
And you like hit them with the best idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you might show them like kind of. I often do presentations where it's like step, jump, leap.
Okay.
So the first one is like. They're here,
mm-hmm.
right, as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one's like a little step.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're like, okay, I'm comfortable with this.
Yeah.
See. The next one's like a bit of a jump.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, ooh, that's a bit interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one's a leap. And they're like, what is that? That's too crazy.
Yeah.
So but that's psychological, right? Because then you get to pick the middle one.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned the middle one's the one you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like...
Step, jump, leap.
Step, jump, leap. That's just one way to do it.
Yeah.
Again, there's lots of books written on. There's a great book called... I think it's literally called Designing Brand Identity.
Okay.
By a woman, and I've forgotten her name. It's a really good book, though, very process driven. And she talks about how to structure presentations and decks and stuff. So it's a good one.
Thank you for your time.
No
that
problem.
Is all, folks, for the podcast.
That's great. It's useful.